Actually, I guess we should have prayed, but we can pray sitting down, I guess. It's good to be with you. This is the first time this year I've had a chance to come, so I think some of you students were here last year when we were here, but it's the first time we've been able to come this year. I have evidence this morning that I'm led by the Spirit to be here this week, and that evidence is that the weather in Cedar Rapids this week, Tuesday night over into Wednesday morning, it's going to be 50 below zero. 50, can you even imagine? 50 below zero. Yeah, I know, it's like, I'm out of here. And that's not even, well, maybe that was wind chill. I'd have to look at it again. But so evidence that Pastor Jay is led. I'm going to take pictures with my cell phone of the thermostat or whatever you call it, the thermometer in the car. You know, when it gets real warm, maybe 72. I'm going to take pictures and send it to everybody. You're blessed in Southern California for more reasons than one. So, but it's good to be here. Why don't we begin by praying, believing God for utterance for the week, and because I got some things in my heart, but I just want to be led by the Spirit, because He knows better than I do what we need to go through this week. So, but let's get in agreement and believe God for utterance, believe God for what the revelation that needs to come. Amen. Father, we come to You this morning, and we're grateful, so grateful for all Your goodness, all Your benefits. Thank You for the great Holy Spirit. Thank You, Father, for the guide that lives on the inside of us. We're so thankful, Father God, we're not orphans. We're not left alone. We're taught of the Spirit. And Father, today we hunger to know You. We hunger to be led into all truth. And we trust the greater one in us today to guide us into exactly what You want for us today. And for each of us as students here today, we're grateful, Father, that You have opened the door for us to come into Your presence. We come and take advantage of that. And we sit at the feet of the Word and sit at the feet of Jesus, the living Word, to teach us the written Word. And we thank You today for utterance in the Holy Ghost. May we not just speak out of our minds, but may there be a divine flow of revelation from our spirits into the lives of each of these students here today, Father. And Father God, we thank You that this week, because of Your help and Your efficiency and sufficiency through us, will be a great big step in these students' lives to advance spiritually and to take further steps into the plan You have for them. We thank You that plan will come to pass in each of their lives. Hallelujah. We give You all the praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. There's no one else worthy. We give it all to You freely, because You're the one who does all these things through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, amen. It's so. We got it. I came with some things in my heart, very definite direction for this. I don't know how many days we'll go, but there's a subject that's been rolling around in my spirit for probably... really a couple of decades, but more recent times in the last 10 years or so, that I've never done a systematic teaching on it. And I say systematic, I mean just taken time with it to just really dissect it and really get it out. And it came pretty clear to me to do that this week on the subject of in the Spirit. And so we're going to spend some time talking about that this week, the subject of in the Spirit. And not just in the Spirit, but life and ministry in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And because, to be honest with you, that's one of the things that is greatly... how would you say it? You know, people are getting away from that in the church world today. They're moving more in the natural. They're moving more, you know, in the mental and trying to reach people and minister to people. you know, in the flesh. And but it's not, they're not trying to reach people in the flesh and minister in the flesh because their goal is to minister and reach people in the flesh. They're doing it in the flesh because that's the way they're living. They're living in the flesh, therefore they're ministering out of the flesh, trying to reach people out of the flesh because that's the realm they're living in. They're living in the flesh, living in the mental, you know, and it's just a symptom. In other words, the ministry that is being propagated in the flesh or mental ministry is a symptom of a lifestyle. And so one of the visions that Pastor Nancy has, Dr. Dufresne had, and of this ministry is to hold the standard that pioneers that have gone before us have attained for us. One of the things about that standard is the realm of the Spirit, living in and ministering in the realm of the Spirit. And so we're going to spend some time talking about that. We're going to spend some time digging all through it, all through the Bible. It is a huge subject. You might think, wow, how much? There's not much in there. It's huge in the Bible. And so we're going to spend some time, we're going to look at what it really is, what in the Spirit really is, the different things the Bible says we're supposed to do as New Testament believers in the Spirit. Really, everything. That's the way we're supposed to live. But we're going to look at really some things that strategies the enemy has against us from walking this way, living this way. We're going to look at praying in the Spirit. We're going to look at all the different things the Bible says we're going to do or supposed to do. So are you interested?
Yes.
I'm excited, actually. I came out here buzzing. I barely needed the plane to get out here. So, but, you know, the thing we want to start with, I guess the best place to start was, let me just give you a little bit more background. You can turn in your Bible, actually, to let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, actually. 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to start there in a few minutes. But, you know, I guess I should say this at the beginning. The map of the realm of the Spirit, which we'll define what that means, the realm of the Spirit. We're going to take a very systematic approach towards this and lay a lot of scriptural groundwork for it because we've got ditches on two sides of this subject. We've got people over here that are trying to live, minister, walk in the flesh and the mind. And that's one ditch. But then we've got people trying to, they're woo-woo when it comes to the realm of walking in the Spirit or ministering in the Spirit. You know what woo-woo means? That means they're just flighty. They're out there. They're weird. and so we've got ditches on two sides. Jesus is the perfect example of walking in the Spirit and living and ministering in the Spirit. And he was not woo-woo. You know what I mean? He was very balanced in the natural realm. He was not somebody that you felt it was unapproachable. I mean, little kids like to come to him and, you know. And so we've got ditches on both sides of this. How many of you believe in just staying in the middle of the road, just going down the middle of the road and functioning well in both the Spirit and in the natural? Tell your neighbor, we're not weird. We're not weird. So with that, you know, stated, we'll spend time just endeavoring to stay down the middle of the road. And because a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago now in January, the Spirit of God spoke to me. I'd been pastoring the church that we're at since, 2002, which is almost, 17 years. Is that coming up? May of this year be 17 years. And we've taken... Of those 17 years, we've taken much of that time just simply teaching the Word, teaching the Word, teaching the Word. And we've had good moves of the Spirit throughout the whole time. And the foundation has been laid in the area of the Word, and we'll continue. You know, you never stop teaching and preaching the Word. We'll do that for the rest of our lives. But the Spirit of God, what I'm trying to say is, a couple years ago, He gave me a new assignment at the church. And He said, I want you to begin to train this congregation in the things of the Spirit. Now, that's the Word, too. You know, that's not, you know, we're not leaving the Word and going into something that's not in the Word. This is the Word, too. But the thing about it is, somebody said one time, you can be all Word and no Spirit. And you can be all Spirit and no Word. And both of them would get you out of balance. And so, but, you know, we've constantly had a good move of the Spirit in the church all throughout the whole time we've pastored there. I don't want to imply that we haven't when we were pastoring those first 15 years or so. But the Spirit of God said He wanted me to begin to emphasize this more. And you can't do that without a good foundation in a church of the Word. Amen. I think Pastor Nancy made the statement, what was it, 7 years, that they barely had any move of the Spirit here at the church, just getting it established. The move of the Spirit really stays on the railroad track of the Word. You know, if you hear a train whistle, you don't look over on the highway to see where it is. You look over on the train tracks, because that train's going to be on those train tracks. And that's the way the move of the Spirit is. It's going to be on the tracks of the Word. It's not going to be over somewhere else, something that's not even in line with the Word, something that's not in the Word. And but yet, right on the other hand, you know, sometimes people, they just don't. They get in the ditch on one side or the other. So, but we want to take some time and develop our faith to not just have faith in the Word, but faith in the move of the Spirit. You know, Paul said, when my teaching, my preaching, he said, was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, we need to have faith in the power of God, just like we have faith in the Word. Sometimes when the Spirit of God begins to move and wants to move in certain places in the body of Christ, they don't have faith to go there. They don't have faith to yield to that. They're afraid of it. Or, they just draw back because it's a realm unknown to them. Well, God wants this realm, the realm of the Spirit, we're going to be talking about in the Spirit. He wants us to be familiar with this realm and acquainted with it. I mean, it's going to be a lifelong thing, actually. You mean, I believe even when we get to heaven, we're going to be still learning about this. But right on the other hand, we got to start somewhere. We have to start learning about the things of the Spirit, how the Spirit moves. What is in the realm of the Spirit. And the more we explore, if you want to say it that way, this realm and the things of God, the less unfamiliar it will be and the more acquainted with it will be. There's always an element of newness to it whenever you enter it and operate in it. But yet, right on the other hand, it's you can become acquainted with it, have a bit of an understanding of this realm. And the more we do that, the more efficient we'll become at taking advantage of what's in that realm and bringing it back to bless humanity with. Because I don't know about everyone, because I know the vision of this school is not just for those called to the fivefold ministry, but some here could sense that call to fivefold ministry. Well, whether it's fivefold or helps ministry or something, you need to be doing what you're doing from the realm of the Spirit with the supply of God and bringing a blessing to the work of God. And the more we become familiar with the Spirit realm and the more accurate we are in manifesting what God has given us in the Spirit realm, the further this era will advance. We'll bring our supply to this era. You understand? But we've got to learn to be accurate in bringing our supply. I don't want to be trying to do what you're called to do. I'll get in the way of what you're called to do. You don't want to get in somebody else's room, somebody else's place. You'll get in the way. I mean, we need to be accurate, not messing things up and so forth and so on. So anyway, we'll get into a lot of this, spend a lot of time in it, and so forth and so on. This subject is one of the keynotes of the New Testament. You should write that down. This truth is one of the keynote truths of the New Testament, and it's one of the keynote truths for the believer in the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, they did what they did in the flesh. They worshiped God in the flesh. They served God in the flesh. They prayed in the flesh. They did what they did in the flesh. But when it comes into the New Testament, there's a transition from flesh to spirit. It's one of the keynote truths for the believer in the New Testament, and that is we do what we do in the spirit. And like I said, that term is maybe vague to you at this moment. You're taught to a degree. I understand it's not completely vague, but yet, right on the other hand, we're going to spend a lot of time just getting into this and looking what the Bible actually says about it. Amen. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to spend some time today laying a bit of a foundation about this term in the Spirit. We're going to look at some Bible definitions of what this term means. And so, are you with me on that? Here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 is where you can find one of them. Let's look at chapter 14, verse number 2. It says, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." All right, so a man who's speaking in other tongues, according to this verse, is in the Spirit. Am I you understanding what I'm saying there? He that speaks in an unknown tongue, let's kind of abbreviate this verse. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, in the Spirit speaks mysteries. When we're speaking in an unknown tongue, Paul is saying we are in the Spirit, right? So tongues is not the only thing that is done in the Spirit, but this is one of the things. And he says when we speak in an unknown tongue, we are in the Spirit and we're speaking mysteries. So verse 14, along with that, brings us the definition, you might say. In verse 14, it says, "If I pray in an unknown tongue," okay, so he's talking about the same thing as verse 2, correct? "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Okay, so in verse 2, he said, when I pray in tongues, I'm in the Spirit. Verse 14, he expands on that a little bit and says, when I'm praying in an unknown tongue or speaking in an unknown tongue, he said, my spirit prayeth. Right? Okay. So the Amplified brings a little bit more to it, and it's accurate from the Scriptures. The Amplified, I don't know if I can quote it exactly. Someone might have it there on your computer. You can tell me if I'm quoting it exactly or almost exactly there. It says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me, or something of that, something, is that pretty accurate? By the Holy Spirit within me? My spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. My spirit by the, okay. So if you take that in verse, what he said in verse 14, knowing that it's the same thing as what he said in verse number 2, praying in tongues, then you have a definition of what it means to be in the Spirit. What is it? What is this verse? What's verse 14 saying is the definition of being in the Spirit? It's doing something out of your spirit by the leading, prompting, anointing, direction, or whatever of the Holy Spirit. The Amplified is accurate there when it says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me. Because how many of you remember whenever we initially see the baptism of the Holy Ghost manifested in the book of Acts, Acts 2, 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as what? The Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit is giving the utterance. So I know this is real simple and basic, but we're going to lay the foundation so we can get into some things this week. But my spirit
He said in Acts 2:4, it's the Spirit giving us utterance when we speak in other tongues. Now, we have 1 Corinthians 14:14 to give us more understanding of where the Spirit gives us utterance. He gives utterance to our spirits, not to our minds. Our minds don't understand it. These are all simple things we all understand, but we're going to launch from this into a greater understanding of some things. So, did you understand the way we went through that? Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, verse 2 and 14, both are talking about the same thing. One place he calls it doing something in the Spirit. The other, in this case, tongues, but there's more that we do in the Spirit, do in the New Testament than speak with tongues. But he says, tongues is in the Spirit, and he said, tongues is doing something out of our spirit by the leading, anointing, utterance, and so forth, of the Holy Spirit. So there's your definition of what, there's one of the definitions of the New Testament of in the Spirit. Okay? It's doing something out of your spirit by the leading or direction or anointing or so forth and so on of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, that's true whether it be speaking in tongues, worshiping God, whatever the Bible says we're to do. It's true about the way we live. Everything the New Testament believer does is lives out of his spirit by the leading, direction, and so forth of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Does that make sense? All right? So that's one of the definitions of in the Spirit. Now, when we talk about in the Spirit, think of it as doing something in a different way than in the flesh or in the mind. We're three-part beings, aren't we? We can do things out of our minds. The Holy Spirit didn't lead us. We just did it, you know. We can do things out of our flesh. Our flesh has some desires, things it wants to do. Say amen, because I know your flesh is like my flesh. Amen. And when we're living out of the flesh, we're not in the Spirit. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't know if they say it, but they kind of imply that in the Spirit is always real woo-woo. I mean, your eyes are sort of rolled back and they're big, and you're acting unusual. Well, let's look at some things the Bible says we're supposed to do in the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians 5. These are verses I know you're familiar with. I just want to look at all of these this morning. Galatians 5, let's look at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we are to walk in the Spirit. Verse 25 of Galatians 5, if you live in the Spirit, let us also, or if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we're to walk in the Spirit, we're to live in the Spirit. You can't walk around with your eyes big and rolled back and live that way. So walking and living in the Spirit, in the Spirit is something, it's a lifestyle. It's not something, you know, woo-woo. Let's use this example. Let's say you have a good opportunity to get offended at someone. And rather than do that, you let the love of God dominate you. And you return whatever, good for evil, or you bless them, the curse you, or whatever, like the Bible says. Do you know when you do that, you're in the Spirit? According to the Bible definition of in the Spirit, whenever you don't take the offense and you walk in the divine kind of love, you're not doing that out of your flesh. Isn't that right? You're not doing that out of your mind. Your mind's saying, they did me wrong, I'm going to get them back, you know? That's not out of your flesh. It's not out of your mind. It is living out of your spirit, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Oh, now it's starting to make more sense. So it's not all in the Spirit. Is not all woo woo. You know what I'm talking about? I've done some things sometimes, people, and I've looked at the video after that, and I'm like, whoa, dude. I mean, whoa. You can get in the Spirit. There's different degrees of being in the Spirit. But yet, right on the other hand, we don't have to have the idea that when we get up in the morning, we have to act woo-woo all the time. to be in the Spirit. Just when you don't feel like getting out of bed and going to Bible school because you had a long weekend, and you get out anyway and you say, I delight to do your will, O God, you just got in the Spirit right there. Absolutely. So it's not what sometimes people think it is. Now, we'll get into some other ways the Spirit of God moves, and in the Spirit, there's things that are unusual sometimes. We understand that. But we got to keep it balanced. Actually, when you walk by faith and not by sight, you're in the Spirit. Although you might not be acting strange. I mean, to natural people, you're talking strange. You're saying you're healed. And they can see that you still have some pain. Isn't that right? But you're in the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we've already seen 1 Corinthians 14:2. One of the things we're to do in the Spirit, and that is pray. Pray in the Spirit. Here we've got Galatians 5 and 6. We walk and live in the Spirit. Go to Ephesians 5. We're just going to look at some of these verses before we go any further. Ephesians, did I say 5? I meant 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now this is a huge verse in the New Testament. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 was talking about praying in tongues, right? And that's done in the Spirit. But here he said all manner of prayer is supposed to be done in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? All manner of prayer is supposed to be done in tongues? No. Tongues is only one manner of prayer. What he's saying is, whenever we pray, we are to go to the throne of grace. What do you mean, Pastor Jay? Where is that? Where is the throne of grace? Is it in Los Angeles? I'm trying to get across to you what I'm... is it in Chicago, maybe? Huh? Where is it? It's not in the natural realm. I said it's not in the natural realm. It's in the spirit realm. Isn't that right? The Bible said, Paul said, well, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, in 4:16... Hebrews 4:16, he said, whenever we pray we have not a high priest who can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was all points tempted like as we are, let us come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. When we pray, we're to go somewhere. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come means go somewhere else than where you are right now. You're right now, you're seeing your circumstances, and it's big and it's huge and it's, you know... But he's saying, come somewhere else. Come somewhere else. Come to the throne of grace. Come to another realm than what you're seeing. Amen. Oh, I can't wait to get to that. But so, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then he said, watching thereunto. Watching there, watching in the Spirit... unto, or that means unto prayer, watching there in the Spirit unto prayer with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, so here's another thing we're to be doing in the Spirit, according to the New Testament, is watching in the Spirit. And we're going to take some time on that eventually, but let me just describe it this way. Whenever you're watching, you're paying attention. We are to be paying attention to what the Spirit of God in the spirit realm is doing, what he's saying, how he's directing, so forth and so on. We're to be paying attention to that. Amen. And moving with the Holy Spirit as he moves us. Praise God. So we'll spend some more time on that. Let me just say it this way. Brother Hagin used to call it putting up your spiritual antenna. You ever heard that term? Brother Hagin made that statement. We've probably all made it to one time or another. Putting up your spiritual antenna. That's called tuning in to the Holy Spirit in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. So that's a big verse. Now go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3. Philippians 3, verse number 3. It says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So we're New Testament believers. We worship God in the Spirit. And so we do it out of our spirits by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Can you see now what that's mean? That's one of the definitions. We'll get to some other definitions of the New Testament here. But in the Spirit means when we worship God in the Spirit, we do it out of our spirit, and we do it by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, John 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4, what is it, verse 23, 24, 25, down and through there, Jesus said the same thing, that the hour comes and now is, they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Must worship, must worship in spirit and in truth. And then He said this, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He seeks people to come into the spirit realm. The Father, His desire for you is to come into the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Live in that realm. There's something better than coming into the spirit realm and praying, coming into the spirit realm and worshiping. It's living there. Yeah. Amen. But I wanted you to see that, and we'll spend a little time talking about that. In fact, let's just talk about it right now. Notice there He said He seeks such. In other words, let's go to John. We'll come back to this list of things we're to do in the Spirit. But John chapter number 4. And I'll find out myself if it's 23 or 24 that it starts. I guess we can start in verse 23. The hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. There's a whole lot in that verse. True worshipers. This is true worship. If there's such a thing as true worship, there's such a thing as that's not true worship. And we see that in the body of Christ today. It's just flesh. They're in the flesh. But He said, true worshipers are worshipers who worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father, this is what I want you to see, the Father seeks such to worship Him. In other words, seek such means people to do things in the Spirit. The Father seeks men to do things in the Spirit. Amen. In other words, He longs for men to walk as God. Hallelujah. Now, when it says here He seeks that, it's talking about He seeks men to come to Him in that realm and experience Him there. There's a lot of people that don't believe God exists because they can't feel Him or perceive Him with the five physical senses. Jesus said in this next verse, verse 24, God is a spirit. In other words, He's not in the natural realm. Now, He does manifest in the natural realm, but He is in the spiritual realm. He's in the realm of the spirit. He is a spirit. You actually are a spirit. You have a physical body, which makes you a function in this realm, but you're actually a spirit. God's in that realm, and since God's in that realm, people can't see Him. They don't believe He exists. They don't believe, you know, when we talk about being led of the Spirit, to them, that's a realm unknown to them. They have no clue what we're talking about because they are not people of faith. Amen. Doubt holds you out of the realm of the Spirit. Unbelief holds you out. And that's as if that realm does not even exist. Although it does. But to them, it's not real. Amen? It's not real to them, and the Bible tells us why. I'm trying not to get off track, but I'll just read this to you. If you want to turn there, you can. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. I'm going to read the Amplified. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1 in the Amplified. I have the Amplified written down up here somewhere, if I can find it. You might hear this. It says, now faith, this is Hebrews 11, 1 in the Amplified. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Now get this, being the proof of things we do not see. And the conviction of their reality. Get this next statement. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Woo! That's things that are not seen. Those are things in the spirit realm. The reason people are not aware of what is in the spirit realm or the resources of God that are there for life in this realm is because of a lack of faith. Faith makes these things more real. As you grow in faith, spiritual things become more real because it's faith that has the reality of them. People say these things aren't real, and this verse gives them the answer why. It's faith that has the reality of them, that perceives them as reality. It's a faith issue. Amen? Somebody said, well, that's just not real. I mean, these things of the Spirit, they're not really real, are they? Well, notice, remember 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says there, it talks about, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not real. Is that what he said? That's not what he said. Huh? Some of you aren't sure I'm quoting the verse. You remember the verse I'm quoting? 2 Corinthians 4:18. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, right? Notice he didn't say not real. He said not seen. He didn't say not real. They are actually more real than things seen. The reason people don't think so is because of it's a faith issue. The realm that created this realm has to be more real than the realm that it created. Everything in this realm came out of the spirit realm. God said, let there be. And God in the spirit said it, and it became substance in the natural realm. Those things are unreal to people. Spiritual realities are unreal to people. But that's a faith issue. Look again. The Amplified says here in Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith perceives as real fact. Real. Underline or circle the word real if you got the Amplified open. What is not revealed to the senses. The senses won't tell you they exist. You can't touch it. You know those five physical senses. You can't feel it. You can't smell it. You can't hear it. It's just like it's not even there. But the moment every one of those people die, they're going into that realm. And they will realize, wait a minute, everything they said is reality. That's reality. I'm not saying they're going to heaven. I'm talking if they're doubting about God and all that. I'm not saying, but the spirit realm has two sides to it. The demon realm is where they're going. Amen. They're going to realize, wait a minute, it was all real. Let me go back. Too late. Amen. Well, anyway, is it coming clear to you now? The reality of these things is our faith. Well, they're just not that real to me. Take the Word of God. See, the Word of God, this Bible right here, is the only book that accurately describes that realm. God's realm and the demonic realm. You don't need to ask demons about their realm. This book will tell you all you need to know. Amen. You got authority over them. You're seated far above them. You can say, get behind me, Satan, so forth and so on. You can answer those things. By the way, it's dangerous to go into the spirit realm without two things. Number one, without the guidance of the Word. Number two, without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because there are things in that realm that will deceive. Amen. Very dangerous to go into the spirit realm without the guidance of the Word and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We'll spend some more time. I'm touching on things we're going to spend a lot of time on this week. But anyway, God is a spirit. Now back to John chapter number 4. We kind of left off back there. Praise God. It says that they that worship him, God seeks, in other words, for men to come into this realm where he is. He is real. I said he is real. And everything he said is reality. You ever read the book of John, the 17th chapter, and it says that thy word is truth. Look up the word truth, and the word truth means reality. Amen. Hallelujah. The word truth means reality. If God said that the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister for us who are heirs of salvation, that's reality. Amen. If Jesus' stripes, him taking stripes, bore our diseases, that's reality. Somebody says, no, reality is that I'm sick. See, no faith. Amen. So this realm has a lot of things. It has the spirit realm has knowledge that you need to count as reality. It has beings that you need to count as reality. A young man recently, actually, this has been something we've noticed as a pattern, as pastor. I don't know what time I'm supposed to quit, Dean. 5 minutes, I believe, is that right? I've seen a pattern. There's a little imp that tries to sit on people's shoulders and say, all this faith business isn't reality. And there's a young man in our church right now that little imp sitting there. Somebody said, why don't you do something about it? Well, we told him it's sitting there talking to him, but we can't deal with it. He has to deal with it. Amen. I got him the book. I held up Pastor Nancy's book, Answer It. And I gave it to him publicly in front of everybody. I said, this is the answer. That yakety-yak-yak in your ear, yakety-yak-yak, there's nothing to this faith business. Because he had a friend that wasn't even in church. It's kind of a long story, but that got cancer. Young man, probably only barely 20 yet. He wasn't 20 yet, but died of cancer. And so, this isn't all real because he didn't get healed and so forth. The man didn't even know anything about healing. He didn't, the young man I'm talking about, this friend of the man in our church that died of cancer. You understand what I'm talking about? The man in my church had a friend that died of cancer. And he thought because he didn't get healed, there's no reality to all this and so forth. And that little imp just sitting there, yakety yak yak. It was revealed by the Spirit, yakety yak yak, sitting there on his shoulder. And we told him, it's sitting there talking to him, and we told him it's a spirit of doubt, and here's the book, Answer It. Here's your answer for it. Yeah, there's nothing to all this. Well, we can't take authority over that. I mean, without his permission, he wants to listen to that. And we said, we need to talk to you more. We need to talk to you more and talk to you about what's going on in your life. This is a demon spirit. I won't help. I said to my wife, I said, because he chooses for it not to help. This is rebellion right now. None of that's real. But yet, in the spirit realm, something's talking to him. He doesn't think it's real, but it's there. And he's being deceived by it. Amen. These things are real. They're not sub. I remember one time a man in my church came and said, would you help me? My wife is just, I don't know what's going on with her. And they're both members of the church. And I said, sure. And he said, come down to my place of work. So I did, and I sat down. And we started talking, and while we're talking, I went into the spirit and sitting on her shoulder, yakety yak yak, this spirit talking to her, it's a spirit of doubt. And I told her about it. I said, but then she went off into homosexuality, off into all kinds of perversions and all kinds of weirdness. You know? Amen. These things are real. They're not, you know what I'm talking about? You remember that man? Now, I'm talking about the demonic side right now, but you remember the man Brother Hagin talked about, Dean, you'll remember this, he went in to lay hands, the family wanted him to lay hands on him. I think he was in a coma, and he laid hands on him, Brother Hagin laid hands on him, and the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, spiritual laws have been set in motion and cannot be reversed at this time. Release his spirit and let him come on home. And so Brother Hagin obeyed and so forth, and the young man died. I preached for that man that died's brother years ago, And that man told me more about what was happening. And he said, as kids, we were growing up, and he said, we'd be goofing off, playing, doing whatever we're doing. And he said, he would stop. Every now and then, he'd just stop, the brother that died. He'd just stop, and he'd say, you know, I'll never live past the age of 40. And then he'd go back to his playing. And he said, that would happen over and over again. And he set that in motion. That's what Brother Hagin was picking up when the Spirit of God said, spiritual laws have been set in motion. He had set it in motion with his tongue. God didn't do that. He did that. These things need to be reality to us. He set that in motion. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? The fact that he would be just, you know, in the natural playing and then stop, and it was like something arrested him, and stop and say, you know, I'll never live. That's not normal for a, whatever, 10, 12, 15-year-old kid to just be goofing off and then all of a sudden stop and say, I'll never live past the age of 40. That's not normal.
Right.
So, I mean, they're not thinking about 40 years old. They're not thinking about how long they're going to live. That's not normal. And it dawned on me, that was a little imp spirit. Yak, 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 yak. And he would stop and say it. That's reality. People want to think it's a psychological thing and all that. It comes from the spirit realm. These things are real. Well, amen. I'm going to stop there, I guess. Actually, I got 2 more minutes. I'm not going to waste those 2 minutes. All right. This clock is gospel this week. Is that right? We'll go by that clock. Okay, so let's just wrap up here. John 4, verse number 24. It says, God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit. So, but verse 23 says, the Father seeks. That's what I wanted you to see. He seeks that men come into that realm and experience him there. Amen? I like that. In other words, he's saying he wants men to operate supernaturally. He wants them to experience the supernatural realm, not just have a natural life. Amen. He got us started in it by being born into this realm, or born of this realm. We'll look at that. We'll take a break. We'll stop right now. I think this is a good place to stop. We'll take a break and get into that. But are you getting some help already?
Yes,
praise the Lord. We'll see you in what? Is it 10 minutes, Dean? 10-minute break? All right.